Welcome, everyone. I am Patrick Lushwan, and I am your host of Faculty Stories, Tell Me Your Why. In this podcast, I ask faculty to share what drives their work, what they do what they do. This question not only gives context to the human stories that drive our mission, it also provides it life and purpose. In Faculty Affairs, our own why is to create an environment where every faculty member is seen in their whole identity, inundated with positive experiences throughout all stages of their career. This is why we shine a light on these extraordinary individuals. We complete each discussion by asking our guests for a piece of advice to share with the next generation of scholars. These unscripted conversations are as diverse and unique as each of the individuals, yet they have one thing in common: the passion that fuels the work of these educators, innovators, and public servants. Join me in following their stories.
So, Caitlin, thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your story. I was sharing with you, quite fascinated by the work that you do, and especially in the multiple dimensions in which you do your work. And I'd love for you to actually share that story with other faculty. So if you don't mind introducing yourself, sharing when you join OSU and what it is that you do here in, you know, in your unit.
Okay, yes, thanks for having me. I'm Caitlin Swindle Riley. I'm a newly tenured associate professor in biomedical engineering. I have a joint appointment in chemical and biomolecular engineering, and also a courtesy appointment in ophthalmology and visual sciences. I joined Ohio State in 2016. I had a bit of a non-traditional start in academia. I worked for a small company prior to joining the faculty here. I currently work on researching and developing ocular biomaterials and drug delivery systems.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I really got very interested in your work. It seemed to me from reading your, some of your synopsis on your work, that it is difficult to understand why some of the, ailments of the eye that you're studying, why that happens, and some of the materials, the biomaterials in the eyes are natural ones, and how do you come up with engineering some solutions to heal that those issues. So just that whole approach to me seems so fascinating. And I was wondering if you could share why it is that you decided to work on this, what is that drives you to do this, and at the same time to continue your entrepreneurial work. If I'm not mistaken, you are chief technical officer of a company that you started, that you launched, and you remain active in that space, which is not usual. So please, if you don't mind sharing, why this work?
I actually did my PhD on ocular biomaterials. And I did go and work in several different areas after my PhD. I dabbled a little bit in neural tissue engineering. And then the company I worked for, I worked on wound care products for like skin, cuts, burns, infections. And so the common underlying theme behind all those was polymers and biomaterials. And really, these are all also considered soft tissues. So when I looked at starting my lab here at Ohio State, I felt like the biggest unmet need, like the area where there were the least researchers, was still in the ocular field. So I saw a real niche or a real place where I thought I could make a difference, because there wouldn't be very many of us working in that space. And then as far as my approach goes, when I started, I was still looking at investigating a lot of what was going on in the native tissues. I'm passionate about the vitreous humor, which is the whole center part of the eye. It's probably the least studied part of the eye. For a long time, it's been considered to be disposable, kind of like the appendix in the rest of the body. It turns out that it's a huge reservoir of antioxidants So it might be contributing, you know, to the overall health of the eye. So I'm still interested in pursuing that. And then from a materials perspective, I've been using my knowledge from school and from working in industry on how I can use polymers and how I can, you know, really do translational research. So even though I'm at an academic institution, I found that I'm still very passionate about getting things out of the lab. I really would hope to see a difference in patient outcomes or in healthcare. And really to ultimately do that, our work has to translate from the academic lab to where the patients are actually going to encounter it. So a lot of my research focus has been more on the translational side because I am passionate about it. But at the same time, we do still have some more basic science or basic engineering type projects related to the eye.
If not mistaken, you're not only interested in, you know, the basic science and the translation that actually would provide solutions and health solutions to patients who need it. I'm quite interested, you know, in the fact that it almost, how did you put it? The video system was disposable. So meaning to me, it almost seems like it's one of those ailments. If you get old and you have it, well, you know, it is the way it goes. And you seem not to let that deter you. On the contrary, it seems to attract you. One of the pieces that really, really speaks to me is that in addition to those two dimensions, you also are driving education and teaching students to think and develop their entrepreneurial skills. And so that's the third dimension that is even more rare in faculty. Tell me a little bit more about that, if you don't mind.
Well, part of that's kind of twofold. I myself never thought of myself as an inventor or an entrepreneur. It's just kind of something that I fell into, both through my experience in industry, where I started to get patents, you know, instead of publications. And then when I saw that, you know, kind of the way forward through getting things out of the academic space, you still need to have that intellectual property protection. And I was really influenced by the Reach for Commercialization program that at the time was run by Mary Juhas and Carolyn Crisafulli. And even though I was a junior faculty member, fairly new assistant professor, I found kind of a support network and the encouragement to go ahead and pursue that line of activity in addition to what we would consider like the more traditional academic research approach. So it was challenging, but at the time, I was seeing a shift in the culture at Ohio State that was starting to acknowledge and reward those types of activities. So ultimately, after consulting with friends, family, and colleagues, I decided that I wanted to push through with that side of things, with the entrepreneurial side of things, because ultimately that's what drives me. And that's what keeps me very interested, even though I am an academic. And from the education perspective, like I said, I never thought of myself in terms of being either an inventor. I never thought I'd have a patent. I never thought I'd be working for a startup company. And I feel like, you know, that's something that most people don't think of in terms of a career opportunity. I was never exposed to anything like that. It's just kind of something that I started to fall into, and I had great mentors, or I had great programs like the Reach for Commercialization program. And that's how I ultimately started to see myself in that space. So I thought, especially in engineering, and especially in biomedical engineering, where there's a lot more in terms of smaller startup companies and other things happening, I thought students should be exposed to some of those characteristics and ideas earlier on in the curriculum, because some of them might ultimately either end up working in that space or might start to consider, you know, the intellectual merit of what they're doing, or start valuing their ideas and really looking at how they could move it forward to translation. And then the other side of things, I got involved with the teen entrepreneurial minded learning initiative that's going on at Ohio State. And while it says entrepreneurial in the name, it's not in terms of traditional entrepreneurship, but it is a thought process, and it's an interesting way to have engineering students really think and be more creative about their approaches to problem solving. So that really connected with me as well. And we became a keen partner institution shortly after I joined the university. So it was a great opportunity for me to jump in and become more involved with that program.
Well, I, for one, am very glad that you decided to follow your heart. We definitely need faculty like you who actually are incorporating entrepreneurship into their teaching. One of the things that I've noticed is that there's more and more demand, particularly in professional programs, for from students who want to understand what that looks like. And both your experience, your own journey, and your courage in developing that line of both research and application in teaching is fantastic for the students for OSU. And I'm very, very happy to see how successful you are and leading at the same time, also in very strong recognition in your own promotion and tenure dossier. So thank you. Thank you for following your heart. I do have a last question, if you don't mind, and I think that's a little bit, you know, you almost segued into it, is what would be an advice that you would give rising scholars, so graduate students finishing their PhD, considering a PhD, and early career faculty or postdocs who are considering academia? What advice would you give considering both your journey and how it's worked for you?
I would say that you're going to hear a lot of advice. It will often be conflicting. So at the end of the day, what I decided to do was to go with what I knew would make me happy. So I made the decision in terms of the entrepreneurial aspects, for example. I decided that I would be more upset if they were successful and I was not involved than if I was involved and they were not successful. So it really told me that I really did want to go for it. And I did want to, you know, work on those opportunities, even though at the time as a junior faculty member, I was sometimes, you know, discouraged because it would take time away from the more traditional aspects. So it's along the lines of following your heart, following your passion. And at the end of the day, you know, don't necessarily try to make yourself fit into a mold. Do what you think is worthwhile, and hopefully your institution will value your contributions.
I really appreciate your words. As someone who's followed my heart sometimes to, you know, making mistakes, but that comes with the experimentation. I really appreciate that you're so honest with, you know, following your own direction. And also I appreciate your time and sharing your story today. So thank you so much. I really want to reiterate my congratulations to your promotion. This is a fantastic recognition of your work, and I really can't wait to see all the things that you're going to continue doing.
All right. Thank you very much.
The Faculty Stories Tell Me Your Why podcast is produced by The Ohio State University's Office of Faculty Affairs. For more information, visit us at faculty.osu.edu. I'm your host, Patrick Lushwine. Thanks for listening, and join us again soon.